Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Morning.
You all right?
I do hope you are. Genuinely hope you are. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and rearing for the day ahead. Come on. Wakey-wakey, eggs and bakey. Come on. Come on. Get out of bed, sleepyhead. Thank F it's Friday, though, right? TGI Friday. Thank goodness. Thank God it's Friday. Oh, lovely cup of tea to start the day. So find a way to start the day. I am not joined by my producer, Little Harry, this morning. He's got a day off. He's doing something else. Going to Comic-Con or something nerdy like that. I'm joined by his boss, effectively, Jack. How are you this morning, Jack?
I'm doing well, Bo. Happy to be here.
Yeah, there you go. We haven't got a poll today, I'm afraid, for some technical reason. So there's no poll today. Apologies for that. I think Jack's off Monday as well. Jack will be here Monday. Little Harry's off on Monday as well. But we'll try and get a poll on you for you for Monday. But okay, no poll today. All right. Who are you guys? You know who you are. You're the chosen few. The glorious band. The chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Basically the best people in the world. If you've tuned in live to watch the stream live, getting involved in the chat, you know. Sending in rumble rants and super chats and stuff. The best people on earth. It's pretty simple. It's as simple as that. Thank you. Thank you. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. I saw Lammy is my Kang said, is the stream 7 minutes late? No, your clock's 7 minutes late. We're perfectly on time. All right. It's just ticked 1 minute past eight in the a.m., which is summertime, on Friday, the 22nd of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I believe yesterday, on Thursday, I said it was Wednesday. It happens, doesn't it? When you're live, when you do live streams, if you misspeak, get something factually wrong, whatever, you sneeze, fail to pronounce the word sneeze correctly, it's there forever. That's it. You made the error. It's there forever. Start having a coughing fit or something. What can you do? All right, should we stop faffing about, though? Should we just stop all this fannying around and just get on with what the show's supposed to be about, which is the corporate legacy mainstream media and what they're lying to you about by omission every day, if nothing else? They cabal, and they are a cabal, of evil editors are trying to tell you is or isn't important on any given day. All right, what have we got? We've got net migration almost halves, so still massive. So still suicidally massive. Right. We'll get into all of that. The numbers, the various numbers on all of that. And Paint Town Claret. Again, that's to do with, I mentioned yesterday, I won't spend much time on it today, or hardly any, but that's to do with how Aston Villa, a Birmingham football club, won the second most important European football trophy. Their colours are claret. So they had a party through the streets of Birmingham, painting the town claret. You get it. I've always resented Burnley and Villa for having claret, because I'm a West Ham fan. The Hammers, West Ham, famously wear claret and blue. We're the main claret club. I think Villa's older than West Ham anyway, actually. Not sure about that. They're both sort of late 19th century, I believe. Anyway, all right. Puts American football franchises to shame. Well over 100 years, 120, 130-year-old, 140-year-old clubs. Okay, all right. What have we got? The Financial Times, SpaceX, OpenAI, Anthropic, and Anthropic IPOs to trigger Wall Street trading frenzy. So some big, big, big companies, you're going to be able to buy and sell stock in them. IPOs. Offering, initial public offering. So you want to buy, and sell shares in SpaceX, for example. You should be able to do that. My advice is, unless the initial price is really, really, really attractive, which it usually isn't, sometimes it is, but usually isn't, just wait for it to settle down if you want to get in the market for something like AI, OpenAI, or SpaceX. That's my advice, but it's not always the case. Quite often, it may not be the case with SpaceX or OpenAI or even Anthropic. Quite often you buy shares straight away, like on the first day if you can, and the arse falls out of the price. Probably won't happen with these companies, but it might. It often does. So you have to just wait ages. You have to wait years until the price returns to what it was when you first bought it. But anyway, these would be great stocks, like almost immediately sort of blue chip stocks, right? You'd want to diamond hands them anyway. You'd want to buy them and basically never think of selling them for years and years and years. You just want to sit on it for decades. Probably. All right. NASDAQ loosens rules. Passive investors set to dump rival stocks. Trillionaire prospect for Musk. Yeah, Elon Musk might become the world's first trillionaire on paper anyway. Not liquid cash. Cash. You know what? If I was Elon, or if I was like a multi billionaire, I would consider, on paper, it's what you're worth, it's what your assets were worth, should you sell them all. If I was like a multi-billionaire, on paper like that, I would be considering quite a lot of the time mulling over the idea of selling it all and having all of that as liquid cash. Because, of course, your assets may go up loads, and you've basically, after you've sold them, you've basically lost out on all that money. But is there any real, is there anything better than actually having locked in the cash? You know what I mean? It's all very well to be worth 200 billion, but the stock falls and suddenly, like literally overnight, you're worth 40 billion now. If you've locked in, if I was Musk and I'd become a trillionaire, it would be super cool, like, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be Bond villain levels of cool to sell everything and actually be a trillionaire? Actually, literally, in real terms, in real life, have liquid assets worth $1 trillion. I think that's cool. These people probably don't think like that. Well, it's probably why I'm not a billionaire, because I think like that. But that's just me. All right. It would be cool to have a share or two in SpaceX, wouldn't it? I had a bit more money to play with. Who knows what the actual IPO would be, how much it will cost per share. Because sometimes companies, like, it won't be this, but I'm just saying it as an example, like Berkshire Hathaway or something, like one share is like $14,000 or something. Sometimes like one share is like, you know, 20p. But, you know, SpaceX would be quite a lot. It'd be cool just to say you've got it. I bought one share in SpaceX. Right. Net migration almost halves to lowest since 2021. So not that long ago. As work visa changes kick in. Should we talk about that a bit more? I think the next headline talks about it in a bit more detail. So should we just go to that? All right. The Metro. Ugh. Staying calm, Jack. The Metro. So there's a story today a bit about how it's supposed to be, a lot of the papers trying to make out that it's good or positive in some way. Oh, I suppose, okay, it is good that net migration has come down significantly. Don't try and tell me everything's okay now. which is sort of the argument or sort of the suggested take by a lot of these things. It's like, you can stop being a bigot Nazi now, can't you? Because it's come down loads. No, it's still a net positive to the tune of a couple of 100,000 or 170,000. And we still need massive net re-migration. Massive. We want our country back. We want our country back. Even if net migration was at zero, I'd still be 100% talking about massive re-migration. Millions are still here. Millions. 13 odd million foreign people are here that need to really go back to their countries of origin. 13 million. That's an insane number. That's an insane number. Right. Migration. It's tit for stat. Mahmood hails a massive fall from 944,000 to 171,000. So first of all, that 944,000 is completely insane. Completely insane. That was in like 2023 or the year 2023, 2022 to 23, something like that. Basically, you know, a million odd. And that's just net, right? That's already, that number has already had everyone that has left taken off of it. So the actual number that came in was more like 1.5 million or something. That's an insane number for a country as small and as densely populated as Britain. That's a devastating number. Devastating. For it to be reduced to 171,000. Again, net. That's net. So the actual number of people coming in is much, much higher than that. They've taken off the ones that left to make it sound not quite as bad. The actual number's bigger than that. But Starmer's exodus, quote, fear as 75,000 young and 136,000 leavers. So some of the data was also that not only are we being flooded by hundreds of thousands net of foreign people, a big chunk of which are just simply asylum seekers. We'll talk about the actual numbers in a moment. They're all there and there, right? But a load of British nationals are leaving as well. Demographics are destiny. This is disastrous, absolutely disastrous, unless it can be reversed by re-migration. Millions must go. Aim high, vote low. Rupert Lowe said, and it's on the literature, on the pamphlets, if millions must go, then millions must go. And they must. But British nationals, 136,000 leavers. A lot of those are richer people. A lot of those. Entrepreneurs and small business owners. Because they're just like, well, I can't really run my business in Britain anymore because of the socialist insanity of our tax system. They're trying to destroy the owning class and kulaks. They're trying to destroy. So I'm just going to have to go live somewhere else, and try and run my business somewhere else where the government isn't completely socialist. Someone in the chat saying, poll, please. There isn't a poll today, sorry. Including 75,000 young people. Disastrous. Disastrous for our demographic. Disastrous. In Bowes, Britain, or in any Britain where there was a government that was nativist, patriotic, not only would I want or encourage massive re-migration of foreign people, I would encourage the sort of Brits who had left to come back. Try and encourage them to come back. In various ways. Okay. Migrants now 1 in 5 of UK's population. It's not acceptable. That's madness. 13.1 million born abroad. 1 in 5. That can't be allowed to stand. It can't be. In a few years, decade or two, three, maybe less. That means we become a minority in our own ancestral homeland. What's wrong with that, Bo? What's the problem? You just hate brown people. No, because we will be a hated and marginalised minority. You get that, right? You get that, right? You understand that? You're not just a minority. What's wrong with that in and of itself? No, we'll be hated and marginalised, ostracised. Look at the examples from history. Look what happened to white people in Rhodesia. In South Africa. Look at the Christian populations in Lebanon. In the old Yugoslavia. Look what happened to them. Suddenly, when the white people become a minority somewhere, suddenly all talk of equality and fairness goes out the window. We're not talking about that anymore. They're talking about your continued destruction at that point. I think I'm being alarmist. You think that's crazy, right-wing fantasy? I'm afraid not. It's a terrible, terrible reality. They hate us. You know they hate us. Just Islam alone. Just Islam alone. It's a proselytizing creed. It demands you, everyone, submit to it. $13.1 million foreign people. Born abroad, fully foreign, born abroad people live here. One in five. That's got to be reversed. That has to be reversed. Luckily, Restore Britain, it's one of their key policies. It's on all their literature. It's in their 114-page remigration policy document. That legal remigration, or rather, legal migration will be reversed. It's right there in black and white. It's all there in black and white. Signed off by Rupert Lowe himself. That we were never asked, never voted for legal migration to flood us with something in the order of 13 million foreign people, one in five. We were never asked about that. Not formally. Not properly, not in a manifesto that any party since like the 60s or ever said, we're going to do that. Don't worry too much about illegal migration, the small boats. That's a drop in the ocean. Of course, that needs to be stopped. Obviously, anyone in their right mind would be in favour of that. All this talk of more safe and legal routes. No. I don't want more safe and legal routes. No. I don't want more legal routes. No. No, legal migration has been used as a tool to try and destroy our society and our people, ultimately. No, legal migration needs to be reversed. Because now one in five people here have been born abroad. Oh, you're just a bigot. You just hate foreign people. Our enemies would say. Again, I just point to what happens in history when that happens. You think someone like Shabana Mahmood would act the way she does and say the way she does if and when foreign people, Muslims, are the majority in this country? Or would her people like her, would their tune change once they realised they had the whip hand, truly had the whip hand? I think you know the answer. Search your feelings. You know it to be true. If we allow ourselves to become the minority, that's a slippery slope to something truly, truly disastrous. Again, just look at Yugoslavia. Just look at the example of the former Yugoslavia. How that descended into a sectarian nightmare. Almost endless sectarian war along racial, religious, ethnic, tribal lines. Look at Lebanon. There's lots and lots of examples of this sort of thing from history. What, and you'll believe Greens or Lib Dems or Labour say, no, the Runnymede Trust, no, we all need, it needs to be as multicultural and multi-ethnic country as possible. And anything short of that is insane bigotry. If you don't have a proactive out-group policy, out-group preference, then you're wrong-headed and you're evil. If you have an in-group preference, you're wrong-headed and evil. No. No, I'm afraid not. No. That's mad. That's insanity. You just have to accept you don't have a country anymore. You just have to accept there's no such thing as a racial or ethnic element to being British, English, Scottish, Welsh, Irish. You just have to accept that. No. No, I don't think so. Because that would lead to our destruction. More safe and legal routes, though. You psychos. You psychos. You think we don't understand that means our destruction in the end? Just more safe and legal routes. Oh, net migration is merely a positive 170,000. Oh, it's down 80-odd percent. Stop worrying about it, bigot. No, 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 no. We're still absolutely staring down the barrel of a monstrous future, a terrible, terrible future for our children and grandchildren, within this generation, actually, probably, if we don't go through the process, which itself won't be pretty, of re-migration. 1 in 5 people in this country, born abroad, 13 million, crime of unprecedented severity that's been allowed to happen. That our political elites have done that to us largely since the late 1990s, accelerated more and more and more in the previous years, or like 2022, 2023, nearly a million, or gross, well over a million, 1.5 million in that 1 year. All the politicians that were involved in that should be put on trial for crimes against the people. Don't tell me Suella Breverman just didn't try hard enough. Don't tell me that. People like James Cleverly, Priti Patel, these Home Secretaries. They've done something monstrous. Absolutely monstrous. Boris Johnson should be held to account for those crimes, the crimes of making 1 in 5 people in the UK foreign born. Terrible, terrible thing. All right, let's move on. There was some more statistics, but you can look them up and read them for yourself. Okay, The Guardian. Gross. Gross. All right, The Guardian actually do a story here where Sadiq Khan did something I agree with. Something I like. Something I would have done, probably. Imagine that. Imagine that. Turn up for the books, isn't it? The Guardian. Oh, look, Derek Jacobi. He said he would like to have been a movie star. He was in movies, Derek. He was in a few movies. Don't beat yourself up. London Mayor blocks Met's AI deal with controversial tech firm. Good. I've made it quite clear I'm not particularly in favour of AI in general. Although it may help in some limited ways, it may advance, progress the human project, human civilization, a fair bit. Like in medical research, may be able to sort of design new things that the human mind's like barely capable of. In some ways, AI could well be. AI isn't simply the large language models like Grok, where you ask it a question and it quickly scours the internet and gives you an answer. AI can be and is a lot more than that. It can do all sorts of things, potentially anyway, right? To be really, really real, AI could help humanity in a few different ways, but still, largely, mostly, I'm very, very suspicious of it. very suspicious of it. For example, what if it's put into the hands of people that have got nefarious goals in mind? They want to just dominate you and the world. So like Peter Thiel and that Palantir. Right? Peter Thiel's thing, isn't it? Palantir. They already work with the Israeli military and the US ICE enforcement. And they already work with the UK Home Office and NHS and the British Ministry of Defence, using AI and AI models to do whatever, don't know exactly. Ultimately, to dominate us. I mean, pretty obviously, I feel like. Like the Met Police, the London Police, wanted to use it. Again, to just sort of be more efficient at surveilling us. Right? And apparently, when they were sort of putting out the feelers of different companies and different ways of doing this, different possible suppliers and things like that, they didn't do any of that. They just went straight to Palantir. Yeah, they only seriously considered one supplier, Palantir. And Sadiq Khan, even a stop clock's right twice a day, right? Sadiq Khan was like, oh, no, I'm going to stop that. The Metropolitan Police are trying to spend £50 million on this. And Sadiq Khan said, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to make you stop that. And the police said, oh, we're really disappointed in that decision. Look, the decision is disappointing. We must be able to innovate faster than hostile states and organised criminals. Is that what it is? Is that what it is? About being able to innovate faster than organised criminals. So we have to spend £50 million on Palantir. Really? I don't buy it. I don't buy any of that. I don't believe it. How about doing some actual police work? Well, the Met Police have to have AI in order to do police work anymore. No? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't trust Peter Thiel and that Palantir stuff at all. I barely trust AI at all. I'd John Connor the whole thing into oblivion if it's up to me. Seems very, very suspicious. Seems very, very easy. Almost designed to be subverted, to be used against the majority of people. I think AI will rob us of our various elements of our humanity in various ways. Call me a Luddite. I don't care. Call me old fashioned. Good. I am then. Yeah. All right. Single-sex toilets must exclude transgender people. Yeah, obviously. Any argument to the opposite of that is just you don't really care if women are safe or not, right? Or some transvestite, some dude who just dresses as a woman should be allowed into female toilets. No, that's crazy. Why would you argue in favour of that? Oh, it's only a small number of them. Don't care. Don't care about that. Don't give me that argument. If one woman gets sexually assaulted or raped by some transgender dude who went in, who's allowed in their toilets, that's one too many, isn't it? We've had all this, haven't we? We've had it. It all went to the Supreme Court. Single-sex toilets and changing rooms in England, Scotland and Wales must exclude transgender men and women. That really is rarely the other way around, isn't it? A woman who just likes to dress up as a boy, insisting she can go in a male toilet. That really is rare. Okay, and women. according to a new code of practice from the Equalities Watchdog. Took them quite a while to come out with that, didn't it? Because the Supreme Court made a judgment on that ages ago. What, a year ago? 2 years ago? When was it? Okay. The Equalities Watchdog has only come out just now and said, only women should be allowed, biological women should be allowed in women's toilets. It's pure subversion, isn't it, that this debate ever got off the ground? That it was ever in a true sort of public debate. It's just subversion, isn't it? It's just concentrate on this nonsense while we flood your country with foreign fifth columnists, barbarians, rapists and murderers. Concentrate on whether transvestites should be allowed in female toilets. It should have been, shouldn't it, that the second any trans activist or anyone at all, any weirdo, freak, commie, subversive pervert, the moment they said, transgender men should be allowed in female toilets and female changing rooms, they should have just been completely ignored, just completely and utterly ignored and stepped over. If anything, a tiny bit of utter ridicule. The idea that that was taken seriously, even in bad faith, that was taken seriously at all. You have to talk about it on LBC for years on end. Talk about it on BBC. Politicians take it seriously and start saying it. Andy Burnham's still saying it, right? The fact that it needed years of sort of counter-argument and protest from actual feminists and stuff. It should have been utterly, utterly ignored. That's all it ever deserved. Gross. Gross, isn't it? Subversive. Gross. Like have massive transvestites reading books to little kids. Why? Why on earth? Just pure liquid subversion, isn't it? Right, The Express, it's a good paper. Okay, you can read your Express now. Stop running away from the Brexit question, Andy. Physically running. Look, still trying to pretend that he does cardio on a regular basis. This man, look at his neck and chin, his belly and moobs. He doesn't do cardio on a regular basis until like a week ago, does he? I would suggest that he's a fan of beer and cake and pies, actually, and a sedentary lifestyle. Okay. Labour hopeful hotfoots it away from our man seeking answers on the big by-election issue, which is Andy Burnham, haven't you for years, or always, until again, about a week ago, haven't you always been really pro-Europe, pro-EU, anti-Brexit? Haven't you been very, 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 very vocal your entire career on that? Well, you have. But now you're trying to distance yourself from all of that because you're trying to win a by-election in a Brexit area, pro-reform and restore, if you believe the accounts, a Brexit area. Now you're trying to win an election there. Right. And that you're trying to run away from the question, from the debate, but also physically run away. No sternum Burnham. Two chins, no neck Burnham. Bumham. King Andy the First, Bumham. All right, the Daily Mail, complete subversive globalist slop, trying to pretend it isn't sometimes. Polling fraud row in Rayner constituency. This is an interesting one. There's tell of full-blown electoral fraud in Angela the Fridge Rayner's Big Bird's constituency at the local elections. Five arrested after claims fake council candidates were on ballot to make sure Labour's man got in. So this is a story. And it's only under investigation, although, as you say there, as you can see there, five people have been arrested. It's not just a bit of rumour. Someone's alleged that. Sources say that maybe. No, people have been arrested. People have been arrested. That's what it is. In Angela Rayner's constituency, what is it? I can't remember. It's something upon Lyon, isn't it? Anyway. In that area, Tameside, the Tameside Council, it went almost entirely to reform, as a lot of places did. But one of their councillors got in, a Labour guy, Atta Ol Masul, what's his name? Atta Ol Rasul. Atta Ol Rasul. That's British name, isn't it? That's English name, that. Right. He got in by a very slim margin, something like 177 votes he won his councillor seat by. But if reports are to be believed, in that particular ward anyway, there was at least two completely fake candidates put on the paper to split the vote. Apparently, it did. Apparently, again, if you believe this reporting, it did split the vote to the tune of something like 290 odd votes, thus allowing this Atta Ol Rasul to get in. Let's see if we got a bit more of a picture of it. No? Okay. All right. Sorry about that. There's a picture of him. Oh, is it on another front page? Oh, look, there we go. Sorry. So the very next one. Look. Look. This guy. Oh, the guy, the reform guy he beat was like called Ahmed Massoud or something. Right. All right. Apparently some of the conversations that were had amongst the Labour people there to do this fraud, alleged electoral fraud, putting fake people on the list to split the vote, and thus just about gerrymander it to get this dude in to prevent reform from having a clean sweep of that council. Just about, it's real, if it's true, real dirty games, real dirty tricks. It couldn't be flying in the face of democracy anymore, really, could it? Apparently, some of the conversations that were had to contrive all of this happened in Angela Rayner's kitchen. Ms. Rayner herself insists that all these allegations are entirely baseless and she personally had no idea about any of it going on. Of course, I don't know one way or another. I'm just telling you what the legacy corporate mainstream media is reporting. If it's true, though, I mean, Lee Anderson has come out and said, I think Lee Anderson said some sort of statement that it's true, or if it's true, it's really bad. I mean, just completely cheating, isn't it? Like one of the fake name candidates on the ballot, there is someone that lives in that area with that name. Reporters went round there and said, like, is this you? Did you? And she's like, no, I had no idea. They've used my name to do that. Oh. So if this cheating, let's just call it cheating. If this cheating did go on, it's pretty gross and sickening. Yeah, people should be arrested. And if Big Bird herself, if the fridge herself was in on it in any sense, she should absolutely be held accountable for it. Of course. She'd be stripped of office. Cheating like that. Mad. The fact that she's connected to it in any way, like I say, some of the conversations had in her kitchen, apparently she wasn't there, but still. In Angela Rayner's kitchen. What? All right, what else have we got? Oh, yeah, a bit of an Andy day. Look, we had a picture of the Queen and Andy up there, didn't we? Look. There's Elizabeth the Absent. Queen Elizabeth II, who reigned over massive decline, allowed us to be demographically replaced in our own ancestral homeland. Elizabeth the Absent, called into Ralph Hyde or Manku, and Carl Benjamin was a brilliant monarch, one of the S-tier monarchs of all time. Why would you think that? She sat there in silence and watched a terrible crime be perpetrated against us. She also apparently personally pushed for Andrew to get an envoy, a job, a trade envoy job. And when, if you remember, when it did come out that he was definitely connected to Epstein, even after his Epstein's convictions for child sex crime, the Queen still just always stood by Andrew, didn't she? Remember that? What did Queen Elizabeth II say about Prince Charles's connection, very, very, very close friendship and connection with Jimmy Savile? Nothing. She didn't say anything. She remained completely silent on that. When we were after 1997, when we were flooded by foreign criminals, what did Queen Elizabeth say about that? Not a dicky bird is what she said about that. Misconduct inquiry into Andrew Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. Andrew cops in sex crime probe. So they're not just looking into whether he may have acted with impropriety during his trade envoy years, but actual sex crime. There's some woman in America who's at the moment, another one, not Virginia Guffrey, the late Virginia Guffrey, who we're supposed to believe just simply committed suicide the other year. Now, another woman who currently now lives in America saying she was sex trafficked to Andy. There's loads and loads of reports, whole books written about how Andrew behaved in sort of the 90s and the early 2000s. His trade envoy job between like 2001 and 2011, how he used it as just a state-funded jolly around the world, where you just go to operas and get loads of prostitutes, all sorts of stuff. Just stay in the best, greatest hotels. Oh, yeah, it's some sort of trade envoy thing. I'll have a meeting with... I'll get to go to Italy, stay in the best hotels, go to the opera, eat and drink in the best hotels, do all sorts of sort of sexual shenanigans on the side, and I'll have a meeting with the Italian trade envoy at some point. Just that, for years on end. It's all funded by the state. He doesn't have to spend a penny. Oh, well, there's one example. He like went to Thailand at one point. If accounts are to be believed. Just went a bit berserk with the ladies while he was out there. Whilst he's supposed to be sort of a government, British government trade envoy type person. An ambassador for us, in a sense. Will the COP inquiry uncover everything about it all? Police assessing claims offences took place at Royal Lodge, Windsor. All right. Woman at centre of allegation and witnesses are urged to come forward. Is Andrew Saxe-Coburg-Gotha more than merely sort of a bit of a Mickey-taking sex pest? Is he more than that? Is he a full-blown traitorous sex criminal? We'll see. We'll have to wait to see what the police inquiry decides, what the CPS decide. All right, that's the front pages. We don't have a poll today, I'm afraid, so we'll go straight to a few front pages, shall we? It's already nearly quarter to. Oh, we'll check in with the price of oil, don't we, usually, here on the Beau Show, Breakfast with Beau. Down a bit, down a touch from what it's been for most of the week. West Texas at $99 a barrel. Brent at $105. So down a bit, but still up and around the $100 a barrel mark. All right. Okay. Oh, here's the thing, Cuba. I'm interested in Cuba. We made a video about the second or even third video about Cuba on the State of Politics the other day, State of Politics, my other channel with Mr. H Reviews. Because Marco Rubio is Cuban, isn't he? I think both his parents are Cuban. And he's now the Secretary of State, you know, the US equivalent of the Foreign Secretary. So he gets to call shots in a way. You know, obviously the big man, Trump himself, gets the final say on all policy, but nonetheless, Secretary of State will have a fair amount of input, won't they? There's no two ways about that. And they talk about some of the words coming out of the State Department. Right? The Pentagon and the State Department are one of the most powerful, between them, of course, stating the obvious here, one of the most powerful cabals of people, of gangsters, in the world. When they say something, they nearly always mean it. And if you're the focus of their ire, I'd take it seriously. When the State Department starts saying, you're a threat and we see you and we won't put up with it, right, take that seriously. And the Pentagon says, what's that, State Department? There's someone you want us to focus on and potentially bomb into oblivion. So when the State Department throws around sort of serious words, take it seriously. Many have decided not to take it seriously, like Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein or Noriega or Maduro or the Ayatollah. Don't take it seriously at your own peril. That's all I'm saying. So now, right, I say all of that because they're talking trash. They're talking smack now about Cuba, like really. Because we had Raul Castro indicted the other day. I talked all about yesterday. Did you watch the Bo show yesterday? And they've indicted Raul Castro on murder, mass murder, a particular incident that happened in the 90s. Okay. Cuba poses a, quote, national security threat, quote, to the US, and the likelihood of a peaceful agreement is, quote, not high, quote, US Secretary of State Marco Rubio has said. You can choose to not take that seriously. You can choose to say that's all bluster. I wouldn't. If I was a senior member of the Cuban government, I'd be getting my bug out bag ready. I'd be making some contingency plans for what happens next. I wouldn't just dismiss that. Personally. His comments, Marco Rubio's comments, come just a day after the US charged Cuba's former president, Raul Castro, with murder over the 1996 downing of two planes, resulting in the killing of US nationals. I mean, those US nationals were trying to drop pro-democracy leaflets on Havana. I haven't got a problem with that in and of itself, don't get me wrong, but you can see how the Cubans did. Anyway, still pretty much murder though, isn't it? Shooting them out of the sky. All right. Could have forced them to land without killing them, perhaps. I don't know. All right. Rubio said Washington's preference was a diplomatic solution, but warned that President Donald Trump had the right and obligation to protect his country against any threat. Again, that's the sort of words coming out of the State Department, particularly the Trump State Department, particularly the Trump second administration State Department. I mean, they're not to be trifled with, really, are they? I think. Cuban's foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez, accused Rubio of lies and said the island had never posed a threat to the US. Well, that's not true, is it? I don't think they particularly pose a threat at the moment, but to say they never have, well, that's not true. They tried to get Soviet nuclear missiles on there, didn't they? Do you remember that? Anyone remember that? A little thing called the Cuban Missile Crisis? No? Anybody? No? They've never posed a threat to the US. Well, that's not true. In fact, wasn't there reporting just the other day, like literally earlier this week, at the end of last week or the beginning of this week, saying that Cuba has got a big arsenal of drones, that Iranian people have been over there for a while, helping them manufacture a stockpile of a few hundred drones that they're prepared to launch against sort of Key West or Miami. Is that true or not? I don't know. I've got no special insight into Cuba's drone arsenal. That's what some reporting was earlier in the week. All right. Speaking to reporters on Thursday, Rubio said diplomacy, quote, remains our preference with Cuba, but added, I'm just being honest with you. You know, the likelihood of that happening, given who we're dealing with right now, is not high. The likelihood of a peaceful, some sort of peaceful diplomatic resolution. He's saying the likelihood of that is not high. He also accused Cuba of being, quote, one of the leading sponsors of terrorism in the entire region, end quote. Again, not to labour the point too much, but if the State Department start accusing you of being a leading sponsor of terrorism, you're in their crosshairs, right? That's the sort of thing they were saying about Maduro. That's the sort of thing they would say about Saddam Hussein. That's the sort of thing they say about the Ayatollah, isn't it? If there's an enemy where they've decided, we're coming for you, bro. We're going to unleash the Pentagon on you if you're not careful. They're the exact words they use. The exact argument and wording, isn't it? It's in our national interest to get rid of terrorists. All right. I thought a lot of people thought that the whole Iran affair, the whole Iran adventure, would have to be over and finished and a line drawn under it before they start doing stuff in Cuba. I don't think that now. I think the Iran thing will probably, maybe I'll tick on and on and on and on. And, you know, the State Department and Trump and the Pentagon will just, they've got capacity to keep doing other things as well. They can do other things as well. Their military budgets are gigantic. In terms of materiel and assets, gigantic. They can keep everything, do everything they're doing in the Persian Gulf and screw with Cuba. Right, okay. All right. I just think the whole Cuba thing is interesting. I'm very, very interested in the whole Cuba angle, the whole Cuba stuff. All right, it's already gone 10-2. So was there a couple of other stories I thought was worth mentioning? I look, Nigel in the news again, all about his £5 million. I just wonder whether this £5 million thing will, in the scheme of things, be little more than a footnote in the story of Nigel Farage. Not even really a footnote in his story. Or will be the thing that actually completely topples him. It's not clear. The legacy corporate mainstream media who have got Farage derangement syndrome aren't letting this one go. I think they feel like there's a little bit of blood in the water. They've got a thread. They've started pulling a thread there. And that's what they feel like, I think. I don't know. I really, really don't know. Someone said, here's a tenner. You've got to put a tenner on it. I would say it ends up being little more than a footnote. But possible it ruins him. I guess we should just have to see what really happened there. Okay. All right. Then I was going to talk a little bit about South Africa, but let's not bother with that. There's just one or two things in the mail. I think, if you see me in the news much, if you watch news, Venezuela fury. Or rather, Venezuela fury. See the difference? Tyson Fury, the boxer, he's got a daughter called Venezuela. But her name is Venezuela Fury. And whenever she, and she's like really young, she got married. She's 16 and she got married to like a 19-year-old. I don't care about any of this, pure slop. I only mention it because whenever it's in the news all the time, which it has been over the last few days, my eye keeps scanning Venezuela fury. And I keep thinking it's something to do with the country of Venezuela. And there is civil unrest there now, but it's not. It's a woman, a girl whose name is Venezuela Fury. All right. It says, oh, Britney Spears, remember Britney? Oh, Britney. Britney. When she was arrested for a DUI the other day, well, we've now got the footage of it, a little bit of body cam footage of Britney. And she did look a little unsteady on her feet and was slightly slurring. And there was footage of her on the just before they pull her over, and her car is a bit janky, a bit weaving. It's not her first DUI, is it? always think, if you're really rich, surely you can afford a cab or even a chauffeur. Does Britney need to be driving herself at all, ever? She's extremely rich, right? The royalties. Surely she's a multi-millionaire. Does she ever really need to be driving herself? Certainly if she knows she's going out on a night and having a few the old booze. You're going to drive yourself home, Britney, when you've already got multiple DUIs to your name. Well, she's an idiot, isn't she? I don't mean that in a particularly nasty way, just a statement of fact. She's not particularly sort of sharp. Bright individual. Richard Madeley. Richard Madeley went to one of those massive El Salvador prisons. Look, there he is. He said maybe the British justice system, prison system, can learn a thing or two from them. In Bowsbury, and I'd build a few super jails because we're going to need to bang up thousands and thousands of people. When we go to war with the organised crime gangs in this country, they're going to add up to thousands and thousands of people, aren't they? Massive detention centres where for the giant programme of forced mass remigration. All right, the screen just flipped out there. A quick story from The Express I thought was interesting today. Look at this. Mystery of Stonehenge's construction finally solved. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. I've got a few YouTube shorts for Lotus Eaters of me at Stonehenge a couple of spring equinoxes ago. Me talking about Stonehenge. It's not far from here. We're in Swindon, right? Everyone knows that, right? Salisbury Plain is in Wiltshire. It's not very far in the scheme of things. Not very far from where I'm sitting right now. And it's a very pretty damn enigmatic thing. Many, many layers of history there. It wasn't built in one go. It was a few thousand years of layers of different things going on there. Actually, largely reconstructed in the 20th century. But anyway, what exactly it was and its purpose, exactly. What culture and or religion it was, we don't know. There's no literary evidence and the archaeology isn't clear whatsoever, really. Almost certainly something to do with sun worship. Would have thought, what it is, really. Now they're saying, oh, we've solved it. It was a sports stadium. Okay. Yeah, all right. It was to do with sports. It was Britain's first sports venue. Oh, shut up. Shut up. The mystery of Stonehenge is solved. No, no, no. All right. And one last and finally, son. This guy, Bihari, he got the Victoria Cross. The Victoria Cross for bravery above and beyond the call of duty. Well, geez, though, I mean, was he in the Gurkhas? Was he a Gurkha? I can't remember. In Iraq, he did do sort of a really brave thing. One of his armoured vehicles, was it a Bradley? I can't remember, or... He's in some sort of armoured vehicle, I think. He got blown up. He got terribly wounded in that, like massive brain head injuries. But he kept fighting. I think he got in another armoured vehicle, started firing back, and that got hit. And he got wounded again, something like that. And he kept firing. He kept going. It was like this unstoppable, like an unstoppable T-1000 unit of a man. And somehow survived his like terrible, terrible, terrible injuries. They gave him the Victoria Cross, the highest award for gallantry. Look, there it is. That's the Victoria Cross. There, you see that one? Showing dash and elan in the face of the enemy on the battlefield. Amazing. Cast from the cannons, the Russian cannons taken from Sebastopol in the Crimean War. But his injuries were bad. Bravest of the brave. There's so much titanium in my head. I'm in pain all the time, says Victoria Cross winning Iraq war hero Johnson Bihari. Usually, often, very often, you only get the Victoria Cross posthumously, i.e. you did something so insanely brave, something so insanely battlefield turning thing that you died in that action. Posthumously. Was he It could very well, very easily have been a posthumous award, couldn't it? But he did survive. But now he's more machine than man. Well, he's got a lot of titanium plates in his head. All right. Thought I'd report on that. Shine a tiny bit of light on someone that did something so insanely brave that normal humans wouldn't dream of doing it. And not capable of doing it. Imagine coming under fire, sustained fire from the enemy. Nearly everyone, nearly every human being, your gut reaction is to try and crawl up into a ball. Try and run away. Try and go in the other direction. Use your fingernails to scrape the tiniest of depressions in the ground to get as flat and as low to the ground as possible. He stood and faced it and fired back multiple times. All right, crazy stuff. Should we have a look at on this day in history? On this day in history. I like doing this segment. You see, guys, seems like doing this segment. Last few minutes of the show. Down through the centuries, on this day, May the 21st, what happened of note? Okay. We're told, on this day in 1792... Oh, no, wait. That's not right. It's the wrong one. We're on the 22nd. I was going to say, this seems familiar. Let me reload the screen. I'm professional, you see. We need little Harry back. I'm only joking, Jack. I'm joking. All right, so on this day, on May the 22nd today, the Battle of the Gradacus. On this day in the year 334 BC, the Macedonian army of Alexander the Great defeated Darius III of Persia in the Battle of Gradacus, the Gradacus River. Alexander had three main big battles against the Persians and King Darius. The Gradacus, what was it, Issus, and Gaugamela. Each one their own thing. Each one their own, got their own story to it. At the Gradacus, that's the one, if memory serves, where Alexander personally led, right at the tip of the cavalry charge, personally led a cavalry charge across a river straight into the Persian ranks. That's crazy. That's suicidal. You'd expect the first guy to get killed. But he, as the king, did that. Alexander was the king of Macedon. Oh, look. Oh, there we go. Look. On my channel history, bro, there's two videos on there, each one about 2.5 hours apiece. Basically 5 hours of me in conversation with Carl Benjamin, all about the life and career and Persian campaigns of Alexander the Great. 5 hours of it. Loads and loads of detail going through the original accounts. It's quality stuff. It's not just rambling. I do quote a lot from Arrian, Curtius, Plutarch, the original accounts. And remember, my undergrad degree is ancient history. If there's anything I can say I truly know properly, it's ancient history. Love me some Alexander. And the Battle of the Gradacus. I mean, he did it at Gaugamela as well, Alexander, like leading the cavalry charge. Personally leading the cavalry charge. Alexander was personally over a wall once, besieging a town. Went over the wall first one time. When he died, he was supposed to have something like maybe 30-odd wounds on him. Proper old-school ancient warrior king. Alexander the Great, undefeated in battle. Never, ever lost a battle once. Maybe one or two tiny little skirmishes when he was caught unawares, but he would quickly reverse it. Never lost a big battle. Alexander the Great, one of the all-time best generals and leaders of men there has ever been. Check out history, bro. 5 hours of me and Carl. It's good stuff. Okay. On this day in 1570, the first atlas, the Theatrum Orbis Terrarum, the theatre of the world, is published by Abraham Ortelius in Antwerp with 70 maps. I'm a big fan of cartography myself. Big fan. Most history nerds like maps. and the history of even the history of maps. I'm one of those. In some places, in some like mansions, country houses, I have a map room. Like if you go to like in Florence, there's one of the big palaces, one of the Medici palaces. They've just got a map room. I've just got a collection of antique maps. Yeah, the history of maps. Love it. Okay. On this day in 1843, first wagon train departs Independence, Missouri for Oregon with 700 to 1,000 migrants. Again, remember I said this before? How relatively late that feels, that seems. 1843. That's the first wagon train to head out to the West Coast. Or not the West Coast, but Oregon, sorry. Specifically Oregon. And it's not like the whole West, Pacific Northwest of the United States was completely unknown. It wasn't completely uncharted. Again, French and Spaniards had been there. As I say, Drake, Sir Francis Drake, sailed up the West Coast of the United States in the early, mid-16th century. Still, proper attempts to settle the West, Northwest, starting as late as the 1840s. The United States, as it is today, as we know it today, is not very old. It really, really isn't. Okay. On this day, 1939, Germany's Adolf Hitler and Italy's Benito Mussolini signed the Pact of Steel, formalising the 1936 alliance known as the Rome-Berlin Axis. That's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was listening a lot to a particular Hitler biography. Is it Toland? I remember now. It was quite a long audiobook. I was just listening to the audiobook. And again, reminding me the relationship between Hitler and Mussolini. It was a funny, weird one. Because, of course, Mussolini's been around for much, much, much longer than Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler's the new kid on the block, effectively, compared to Mussolini. Right, Mussolini's already been around for 10 years or more by the time Hitler gets into power in the first place. Right, what's the march on Rome? Mussolini's march on Rome, what is that, 1922, is it? Hitler doesn't get into 1933, so okay. But then when Hitler starts ramping stuff up, when there's like the... when he like annexes Austria, Hitler, and when Hitler starts taking big chunks of Czechoslovakia, when things in Poland start going down, Mussolini's like been talking a big game for years. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, we were, you know, the Rome-Berlin Axis. Anything you do, Hitler, I'll be right there with you. We'll help you out. When Hitler actually starts really doing stuff, Mussolini's just like, oh, we're not ready. We don't have... Yeah, I know I said we'd be right there with you and send troops and aeroplanes and tanks and stuff whenever you started doing stuff, but we can't, we don't. In fact, we'd rather you calm down a bit, Hitler. We'd rather you don't sort of invade Poland and divide it up between you and Stalin. Could you not? Like, if you start a European worldwide war, we're not ready for that. But yet still, but despite all of that, Mussolini just kept, even though that's what's going on behind the scenes a lot, with the actual personal correspondence between Hitler and Mussolini, stuff like that. But as far as the public are concerned, he just keeps doubling it down. The Pact of Steel, right? We're in May 1939, and the Poland thing and the full war starts in September 39. So, i.e., May is not that long before that, right? Only a few months. And Mussolini's signing the Pact of Steel, which basically says, it's mad really for Mussolini to have done it from his point of view. Like, you know, Hitler's increasingly belligerent and not prepared to stop, really. It's part of his foreign policy, it's part of his worldview and policy to... He is insisting on it. If you read Mein Kampf, even in Mein Kampf, written... dictated years and years and years before, he is talking about Lebensraum. He is talking about Lebensraum and lots of living space for Germans to the east. And quite explicit that Bolshevism is the ultimate enemy. Bolshevism. So, despite the Ribbentrop Molotov Pact, despite the pact between Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, there's almost certainly going to be some sort of giant showdown between Bolshevism and National Socialism at some point. Benito Mussolini, really, the Italians really should try and have as little to do with that, because they're not ready. They're not ready. And yet he signs the Pact of Steel, where Hitler says, anything I do, you're on board with it, at least on paper. And Mussolini does. He signs it. Not a great move. Not a great move, really, in terms of his own interest, Italy's interest. There you go. Okay, I mean, could just talk about this, all this stuff for hours, going into loads more detail. It's not a history show, I'm afraid. All right, what else we got? One last thing today. What's this website give us? It says, on this day in 2014, the Royal Thai Armed Forces, led by General Prayut Chan-o-Cha, stage a coup in Thailand, suspend the kingdom's constitution, and take control of the government, the 12th since the country's first coup in 1932. It often happens a lot of places like this, isn't it? Myanmar, or Burma, Thailand. If the governments get too out of control, the army just takes over for a while. Well, as long as the army and the general aren't like completely insane and murderous, they do just eventually give back power to civilians. It's less so the case in Burma, isn't it? But yeah, in Thailand, they've got a king and everyone seems loyal to the king ultimately, so there's that. I mean, I actually do remember these this particular military, would you call it a coup d'etat? I say, yeah. I remember it quite well. There's lots of protesters out on the streets and the army just sort of snipered the key number of them on the street. Just people milling around with like signs. Suddenly one of their heads just explode or a sniper round. Do that a handful of times, pick out the right person at the right moment. That will stop civil unrest pretty quick. Brutal. Brutal. But there you go. All right. All right. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats before we end the show? It's already 10 past. Gone 10 past. All right. We do the Rumble Rants first, do we? Yep, here's the Rumble Rants. We've got a few of these. Who's in at number one, do you reckon? It's Global Church History. Reigning, defending, undisputed. Okay, Global Church History says, today in 192 AD, Dong Zhao was assassinated by his adopted son, Liu Bu, beginning the collapse of the Eastern Han and the Three Kingdoms period. I don't know a great deal about that, I'm afraid. I know a little bit about that stuff. I said before, Chinese history isn't my forte, really. I've got a long form content about the first Chinese emperor, but don't know a great deal about that, I'm afraid. The next one, though, there's your second factoid. I do know a great deal about. Second one you've said, and on this day in 1455 AD, the Wars of the Roses began at St. Albans. Yeah, the first Battle of St. Albans. There's a second Battle of St. Albans in like the 1460s. Very, very different thing. The first one, though, the one you're talking about there, the first one, not that long ago, only like a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago at most. I talk all about the first Battle of St. Albans in quite a lot of detail on my own history theme show, Bodade's Epochs, which is behind the paywall on lotusetus.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. I do a very long series, hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content there. Literally, no exaggeration, hundreds of hours. Recently, I've been going through, I'm on Henry VIII at the moment. Before that, of course, Henry VII, Henry Tudor. And before that, the Wars of the Roses. Just to say, about probably 6 weeks or so ago, maybe a bit more. Yeah, so complete Yorkist victory at St. Albans. Wasn't much of a battle. There's only a few thousand aside, very few casualties. 50, 100 casualties aside. A complete Yorkist victory. They're fighting in and through the streets of St. Albans. not a very big affair. Quite often the guys in full plate mail, chain and plate mail, they're like tanks. They can't be stopped. They're just whacking each other and no one's getting injured or killed. They're just whacking each other all day long. But in the end, full Yorkist victory. Richard, Duke of York, and Warwick, his cousin, defeat the king, Henry the Sixth, Henry of Lancaster, and what, like, Buckingham's captured, isn't he? Somerset is killed. It's a big one, yeah. Complete Yorkist victory. They take the king, Richard, Duke of York, takes the king prisoner. Keeps him as his pet for a while. Makes himself Lord Protector. The ruler. He makes himself ruler. Richard, Duke of York. The son whose sons become... Well, his son is Edward the Fourth and Richard the Third. These sons of York. That's that York. All right, I could go on about it, but I haven't got time here. If you want all that stuff in crazy, crazy detail, really, audiobook level detail, £5 a month. Think about it. Think about it, boys. All right. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. Morning. Terrible news from NASCAR last night. Yeah, I saw this. Oh. Terrible news from NASCAR last night. Kyle Busch passed away. Not in a race, RIP, only 41. Hope you have a good weekend ahead. Thanks, Fortean Barber. I hope you have a good weekend ahead. Yeah, I know you guys don't really like sports much on this. We've done a few more than one poll, haven't we? Do you care about soccer, football? Do you care about American football, gridiron? Do you care about Formula One? It always comes back, no. So I'll only spend a moment or two on this, but Fortean Barber has done a super chat, so. Among the all-time great NASCAR drivers, Kyle Busch, he was only 41. Yeah, died suddenly. The little thing I saw was that it said he was taken to hospital with a severe illness. Sometimes when they report died suddenly, it means suicide. But apparently it wasn't that. He just got some sort of serious illness and he's dead. He's dead. Kyle Busch, 41. Oh. Yeah, RIP. What can you say? Not supposed to swear on the breakfast show, am I? Apologies to any parents that have got kiddie winks in the room. Kyle Busch, RIP, for real. All right, GWFF says, first leafleting run for volunteers of the Restore Britain Bromley branch tomorrow. Oh, great, cool, brilliant, best of luck. Yeah, brilliant. And everything's still ongoing in up in Makerfield. This weekend, some people are saying that Restore may have as many as 500 volunteers from all over the place flooding into Makerfield. Oh, yeah. You think Restore doesn't have a ground? You think Restore is just some silly little online echo chamber, rightoid nonsense thing? No. Okay, you also say, weather looks great. Yes, I think it's supposed to be a nice warm weekend in Britain. Yeah, I think it is, yeah. It's God's work. Oh, yeah, that it is. We're going to win, exclamation mark. Positive mental attitude and esprit de corps. Yeah, we can win. Yeah, we can win. Yeah. Not just get a decent third. Not just get a really nice, sweet second place. Which is a good indication of things ahead. No, we can win it. Can bloody well win it. Thank you for your courage. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Have a beautiful weekend. A beautiful weekend. Thank you. You too. You too. Positive mental attitude. It's all important. Morale. It's all important. That's why I despise doomers. That's why I despise them. Ugh. Okay, Fallen Firebird says, we're already a hated and marginalised majority in our own country. That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. So being a minority will be the end of our people and civilization. Yeah, quite possibly. I don't think that's hyperbole. They must all go home. Anything else is not acceptable. Yeah. Yeah. Agree. Something absolutely radical and profound has got to be done in terms of our demographics. Having one in five of us foreign born, no. It's not good. It's not good enough. All right. The last rumble rant this morning is from Busted Brian. Thank you. Busted Brian often does a rumble rant. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You've said here, perhaps before you leave today, you might look at the recently released Restore Britain Energy Plan paper. 43 pages, but you can skim it. Unless you guys plan to discuss it on the show proper later. Okay, I don't know who's on the podcast later and if they're going to discuss it or not. It's not a bad idea, though. I saw that that paper had been released like a day ago or 2 days ago. I saw that it had been released, clicked on it, got it, had a quick skim, but had to move on to do other stuff. But I will absolutely 100% read it in its entirety. 100%. It's going to happen. Whether it will be today, I don't know. It might be today, actually. I'm not on the podcast. I don't think I'm on Lad's Hour or anything. Jack, is there a Lad's Hour this afternoon?
Yes, there is.
Okay. I don't think I'm on that. If I've got time, I'll read it today. I'll read it over the weekend. Soon, anyway. But yeah, that's nice. To have a proper, decent, long, quality, in-depth policy on energy. Great. Again, it's serious, right? It's the serious stuff of politics. Being a serious party. Right, did Homeland or Advance come out with a 43-page policy on energy? I don't think they did. I'm not needlessly having a pop at them, by the way. This is an example. Right. Does the SDP have that? That's what I'm saying, you know. Does Heritage have that? Does Reform? See one or two silly little Tory boy morons on Twitter saying, oh, like, it's not all about policy. Oh, like, such terrible cope. Like, there's something wrong with having quality, thought out policies. Restore is almost certainly here to stay, and it's a serious option. It's an actual serious option. The idea that a lot of the people in and around Rupert are really young and don't know what they're doing. No, not at all. Not at all. Some very, very competent, serious people. The hubris of the reformtards. Just hoping Restore will implode and go away. It's brilliant to see their meltdowns day after day after day after day. Funny. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube super chats. Oh, there's quite a few. I have to whip through them a little bit. I always say that, don't I? And then don't really. I whip through them all. Get through them. All right. Stephen Knizek. I don't know how to say that. Stephen. You'll just call you Steve. Stevie Baby says, when will Bo have the Keir puppet from Spitting Image as a guest on his breakfast show? Inquiring minds want to know. Oh, the Spitting Image puppets, they're horrible. When I was a kid, the original Spitting Image from the 1980s, they were so grotesque, they were like a little bit scary even, some of them anyway. You've seen the Margaret Thatcher one, it's sort of like monstrous, truly monstrous. Okay, something wickedly... Shona, superfan Shona, says, I like reading about judiciary and jails in 1700s. Yeah. Interesting. The history of crime and punishment is fascinating, yeah. Particularly from the 1700s, though. From, like, the 18th century. Arguably when it was, at, like, its most severe. Arguably. Okay. All right. someone whose name is just a collection of letters, as far as I can tell. IXZOYT. There's no way that is a word that you can pronounce. They're just called at IXZOYT. They say, morning, Bo. Morning. Morning to you. I'm going for my first ever political meeting with my local Restore branch today. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Restore speaks to that massive group of people that have been so disenfranchised and disenchanted that they don't turn up for anything. They don't vote for anything, not even reform. But Restore speaks to them. Restore feels authentic and genuine. It's an actual nativist patriotic option. It's not just more of the uni party slop. It's not just containment. It's not just Nigel's vanity project containment ball plop. It's real. It's people that actually want their country back, for real. I don't care about being called racist and bigots anymore. I'm going to do it anyway. It appeals to that half the electorate. That speaks to them. I really do think that. That dynamic could be massive at the next general election. Massive. Okay, IXZOYT says, it's the first time they're going to a branch meeting. Great. Can't wait to get more involved. Yeah. They say, love the show. Keep up the good work and have a great day. Thank you. Thank you. I will do. I will keep up the good work. I shall try to have a good day. I hope you do too. Shona again says, Birmingham's machete fights being different, Clara. Right, yeah. There's loads of machete fights in this country now, often between different tribal ethnic groups. Particularly in Birmingham, there's one the other day. I mean, you're probably almost certainly referencing one just the other day. Footage of it, someone on their phone. It's really quite common. Different groups of foreign people having running machete fights in our streets. Claret all over the place. For anyone who might not know, claret is a different word for blood. I've cut myself. There's claret all over the place. That's what Shona's saying there. All right. Stephen again. Stephen, whose surname I can't pronounce, but thanks for the super chat, says, and it's in quotes, right at the end, it says, it's a Guardian quote, it says, Restore's Bodade Nixies poll. Bodies ill for democracy under Rupert Lowe. Is there a typo there? Am I misreading it? Restore's Bodade Nixies poll. Oh, bodes ill for democracy under Rupert Lowe. I feel like there's a typo with the word Nixies there, but okay. Says The Guardian. Yeah, at some point, The Guardian and others and all the mainstream media are going to come after anything and everything that Restore is. Rupert himself, anyone and everyone connected with it. At some point, the cabal of evil editors and owners will decide, right, it's time to try and destroy them, try and assassinate all of their characters, try and ridicule them into oblivion. Try and paint them as evil in some way. We're not quite there yet, are we? We're still in the phase where they're pretending it doesn't exist. It's coming. Don't worry about that. Oh, it's coming. All right. TC Hill says, morning, Bo. It's my birthday today, 34. Happy birthday. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Your name's not Lisa. It's TC Hill. But you say, 34... You say, I'm getting ready to work all over Cheshire. What would you say to people who are nervous about going to help in Makerfield? Blue on blue suits you, sir. Yeah, I'm blue. Thank you. Thank you. What would I say to people who are nervous about going to help in Makerfield? I don't know. Just if you're prepared to go and do that at all, brilliant. They'll probably need people that don't necessarily have to speak to someone on the doorstep. You just deliver leaflets, and you don't necessarily have to do the door knocking bit. You can, I imagine, you can if you want. Like, you don't have to do anything, right? You're a volunteer. It's good enough that you're there at all, helping out at all. There'll be some people that want to do the talking on the doorstep, knock on doors and have a conversation with people, try and change their mind, whatever. There'll be a whole bunch of people there that are dying to do that bit of it. If you don't want to do that bit of it, don't feel like you have to. No one's sort of forcing you to do that if you don't want to do that. But don't worry about it. The fact that you're turning up and helping kind of at all is the main thing. They I'm sure they can find you something if you say to them. If you say to your local regional sort of little team leader, so usually you go around in teams, right? You say to the person organising that, do you mind, is it all right if I don't actually do the talking to people? I'm just nervous about it. I'm not so comfortable with that. I'm sure I would have thought, almost certainly, they'll go, no, that's fine. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Probably. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You're nervous about it. The fact that you're there doing something, helping the cause in some way, that's gold dust. That's magic. Thank you. TC Hill, thank you. Sir or madam. You might be called Lisa. I don't know. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Brilliant. Can't buy it. Great stuff. Okay. Kiefer Brown, 1337, says, net migration has come down is good news in the same way that inflation has come down is good news. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's something terrible that's happening and it's only accelerating. Like, it's only accelerating. Oh, it's accelerating slightly slower now. So you're supposed to be happy. That's supposed to be okay now. It's accelerating slower than it was. Yeah, that's still not good. Absolutely, yeah. Inflation is down from 7-point-something% to 3-point-something% on top of those years of 7-point-something%. Yeah. It's not good. Net migration is only 170,000 on top of millions. Don't try and tell me it's good. Quite right. Quite right. Yeah. Shona again, something wickedly says, I don't want to holiday abroad. Never mind live. Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly want to live abroad. When people say, oh, you just flee. No, I'll never flee. I'll never abandon Albion. I'll never abandon England. No, never. I was born here, I live here, and I will die here, one way or another. There are loads of places to go on holiday that are great abroad, though. Having a holiday in Britain is great. A lot of people should do that. There's amazing things to see here. But don't cut your nose off to spite your face. There's a few things in other places in the world that are worth visiting. Okay. But the overall sentiment, Shona, I agree with you. There's a million and one things on these islands that are worth visiting, going on holiday there to see. Okay, David Betts, 1180, says, Brit here who left to Paraguay. Minus one for Starmer's numbers. Miss my family a lot, but I'm much happier now. Oh, well, fair enough. You do you. You do you. We'll need you back when the time comes, though, David. We're going to need every man jack of us in the battle to come. Metaphorical battle, figuratively speaking. Okay, Stephen again. Stephen, whose surname I'm only going to butcher, so I won't try. Stephen again says, 1996, don't look back in anger, the Oasis song. 2026, perhaps it is time to look back in anger. Yeah. I wrote an article on lotuscity.com called Look Back in Anger. And in that, I made the argument of, don't tell me not to look back in anger. I'll look back in anger if I want to look back in anger. Looking back in anger is the correct response to certain things. Don't tell me not to look back in anger. If I want to look back in anger, I'll look back in anger. Thank you. Don't look back in anger. To not look back in anger, in some senses, that's insane. That's insane. Morally, ethically, Okay. Two more from Shona here. He said, I had an election rigging party in my kitchen. Smiley face. Yeah. Angela Fridrainer, Big Bird, had an election rigging party in her own kitchen. You also say, royals are proof you shouldn't marry relatives. Oof. Yeah. Fair few of the House of Hanover, Saxe Coburg Gothas, were related to each other, cousins and things. Yeah. Quite right. Well remembered. Kick You in the Throat, that's their name, at Kick You in the Throat, says Anglosphere, fun fact. England held Cuba for 11 months in the 1760s, opened free trade, boomed the economy, only to trade it back to Spanish Florida in the Treaty of Paris. US should try again, question mark? Interesting, yeah. So that is very interesting. It's been a Spanish possession since, what, the late 15th century, early 16th century? We briefly got it in the 1760s, it's quite right. Traded it back to the Spanish. When the Spanish Empire finally entirely collapsed in, like, what, 1898, 1899? It then belonged to the United States until, well, effectively, it didn't become a state of the United States, but until, what, 1959? So from like 1900, 1898, 1899 to 1959, it was American in all but name, you know, like the way Puerto Rico is, sort of thing, you know. And in 1959, that's when the Castro brothers get in. US should try again. They do consider it theirs in all sorts of ways, don't they? In various senses. In their backyard. Could it be more inside their sphere of influence, if you like? Oh, okay. Mike Orklem doesn't say anything. Just gives a tiny bit of money there. So thank you for that, sir. Appreciate that. All right, last few. Kick You in the Throat again says, proper blue digs, ready to defend two Utes now. Exactly. Ready to defend two youths now. Okay, well, thanks anyway. I'm not sure exactly. Proper blue digs. Okay, all right, well. Cheers. Midas Touch 2022 says, oh, you're bloody gorgeous, it has to be said. Harry, go to that can. Thank you, Midas Touch, thank you. It's very kind of you to say. I know I'm a six at best. At very best. In the right light. If I trim my beard up, it's a bit Uncle Albert at the moment, isn't it? A little bit. Thank you, that's very kind of you to say. All right. And the last one, Pixel Rick. I'm Pixel Rick. Pixel Rick at 9978 says, good name, says, what is it? A big weekend for us. Big weekend for us, lad. Predictions? Oh, and then you put three hammers. West Ham. West Ham might get relegated, yeah. The Premier League. I know you guys don't like football. Tottenham might get relegated. If West Ham stayed up and Tottenham got relegated, oh my God. I can't make a prediction. I just hope West Ham don't get relegated and Tottenham do. I couldn't tell you. Who knows? It's in the lap of the gods. I just hope that. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Okay, we've got one last rumble rant that's just come in. Why not read it? Chaddy304, just from memory, Chaddy304's up in Makerfield, aren't they? Or in that region, in the front lines, in the trenches, getting S done. What they say, for those who want to come to Makerfield but are nervous, we are all welcoming. You can just stand by our side. And if you want to chip in, you can. We're just happy that you are there. Right, yeah. I thought, thank you. Thank you, Chaddy. I thought that is exactly what the sentiment would be. Yeah. You're not going to be forced or asked to do anything you don't want to do. If there's anything you don't want to do, just say so. You're a volunteer. Yeah. The main thing is that you're helping in some way, right? That's the main thing. And it isn't everyone's forte to knock on the door and start having a conversation, argument, passive aggressive argument with someone on the doorstep, depending on who you're confronted with. That's not everyone's cup of tea by a long way. I get it. So, yeah. But what Chaddy said there, I thought, you know, that's going to be what it is. If you can help, if you can get there, you know, show your face, do something. That's the main thing. All right, great. All right, that's the show. It's now 39 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Friday, the 22nd of May, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it isn't anything at all. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoy the weekend. I hope you enjoy the day ahead. Try and make the best of the day ahead, and indeed the weekend. It's a long bank holiday weekend as well, isn't it, in Britain? Monday's a bank holiday. Try and make the best of it if you can. Carpe diem. Seize the days if you can. Most valuable thing you'll ever have is your time. Try and make it count. All right. Until Monday. We'll be back on Monday. Until Monday morning then. Take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.